love. Well, that's a big word, isn't it? I think it's an abused word. It really is. I think people say they love each other. We say it so frequently. We say, I love you. And sometimes I wonder if we really mean what we're saying, if it's just not a word that just comes out of our mouth. And really the feeling of it. And I think that's what Jesus was getting to Peter about. You remember the scripture where Jesus was talking with Peter and he said, Peter, do you love me? And he just kept asking him over and over again, really, do you love me? And I think that's what he was getting at. I mean, do you really understand what you say? Do you really understand when you tell somebody you love them, do you really mean it? And how do you mean it? In what way? How deep is it? And you know, we know that there's different kinds of love. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. The first scripture we're going to talk out of is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me there. I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for your written word. I thank you for leaving it with us as a guide. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit who speaks to us through your word. Lord, let us understand this tonight. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
It says, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and cannot fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I love that. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, and I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of a childhood behind me, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall not. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I'm fully known. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest, he says, of all these is love. The greatest. You can have all this stuff. You can do all these things. But without love, it's really meaningless. And that's what I say. You can go to church all you want. You can do all the things that, you can baptize people. You can preach. You can teach Sunday school. You can do all these things. You can go out and witness to people. You can even, it even says you can go out and cast out demons. You can do all these things, but if you don't do it in love, if you don't have the love of the Father in you, it's meaningless. Because there's a scripture that says in the Bible that Jesus said, you know, he says that there will be some that will come to me in the end, and they'll say, well, didn't I do all these things? And I know I've said this before, and you've heard this before, and they'll say, didn't I do all these things? Didn't I preach for you? Didn't I baptize? Didn't I do all these things? And he'll say, depart from me, because I never knew you. Why did he say that? Because they didn't love him. They didn't have the love that he's talking about right here. And I know it's difficult sometimes to love some people. You know what I'm saying? There are some people out there that's challenging. But, you know, I have to pray about things like that. And I say, well, Lord, you know, I've always liked the challenge. So I guess that's just part of life. We have, you know, God challenges us. We have to love. We have to forgive each other. That's a challenge sometimes. So when we look at different kinds of love, there's actually seven kinds of love, they say. But the Scripture talks really about three specific ones. And it talks about eros love, phileo love, and agape love. You know, we have a love that's a friendship love. A love that we love each other with. And sometimes it gets pretty deep. I mean, I've got friends that I love dearly. And I mean that. And they love me. We do anything for each other. But it's a different kind of love than the love that I have for my wife. You know, and our love, that kind of love is a little bit different. That love is eros love. It's a passionate love. It's a love it's a binding love between two people. I don't have to go into detail. I think we all know that. But, you know, that's a different kind of love. But the friendship love is what we share as a family. And that's the love I'm talking about. You know, as a family, do you really love your family members? Now, we all have those family members, don't we? Those ones that, you know, that are the challenge. The ones, you know, the people that you see in Walmart that you say, I hope they don't see me tonight because I really don't want to talk to them. And you feel bad about it. But you know what I'm talking about. I ain't fooling anybody here tonight. But you still love them, you know? That's funny, but it's true, isn't it? I know people do me that way all the time. I see them, I was like, oh, I know, where'd they go? You know? It's like, man, they really love me. And, you know, then we got agape love, which only can come from one place. And that's the love of the Father. I mean, a love that just is so deep and so unconditional that He went to a cross and died and knew what was going to happen. That's what we talked about this morning. It's what this Christmas season is about. He knew what was going to happen before He was even born. He knew all that was coming. But yet He was willing to do it. That's love, isn't it? That's love. But I want to go back. I want to go back a little bit. As a church family, it is so important that we love each other. We make it a priority to forgive each other when we've wronged each other. We make it a priority to keep that love. Because if we don't, then we lose our unity. And when we lose our unity, then we're useless to God because we can't accomplish anything. That's what the Scripture says. It's not me saying that. That's what the Scripture says. If you can't love each other, that's what I was reading. If you can't love each other, then what good are you? Because I can't use you, is what He says. If you can't love each other. That's harsh sometimes, but the Scripture gets a little harsh sometimes. It challenges us because we're not perfect people. Simple as that. We're not perfect people. We make mistakes. We say things the wrong way sometimes. We do. I do. I get rude. And you know who I get rude with the most? My own family. My wife. My kids. I'll be nice to other people, you know, and I, you know. But when it comes to my family, it seems that's the ones I get the most rude with. But we do that in the church too sometimes. The ones we love the most seems to be the ones we push the most buttons. But the thing we got to do is we got to remember that when we do that, we just got to go make it right. That's what's most important. And that's, again, sometimes a challenge. But it's what's important. I'm not speaking out of line tonight, am I? Am I? But the greatest of these is love. What the scripture said. The greatest of these is love. Let's look at 1 John chapter 7. 1 John chapter 7. I'm reading quite a bit tonight, but I think it's important. To me, the scripture is important. It speaks for itself. Yeah, chapter 4, verse 7. I'm sorry. I'm glad I've got my helper. Chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God." See what I'm saying? That's the agape love that should be in us. Why? Because Christ had agape love, and now He lives within us. So we should produce that love. And that's what He's saying. If you know God, then you know love. And when you know love, I'm going to go on. "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us." Man, I love that. You are complete in God if you love Him and you know Him. It goes on in verse 13. It says, "This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us of His Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus." Remember that. In this world, we are like Jesus. So who was Jesus? What did He do? How did He act? How did He treat people? There again, how was He treated? You're going to go through those things like we talked about this morning. I lost my place. 18. Thank you, Brian. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." Wow. You know, that's for the church right there. That's for us. That's a challenge to us. It's not an easy challenge, but it's a challenge to us. And I can stop right here with this message. I can stop right here with this. You've heard the word. You've heard what God said. When we accept Him, that love comes within us. It fills our hearts. And it produces these things that comes out of us naturally. But it's not easy. It's not easy. But on this day of Advent of love, I just want to, you know, these are probably the two most quoted verses, you know, scriptures in the Bible about love, because it's specific to the church and how we should act and what Christ expects out of us. Why does He expect that out of us? Because He lives within us. That's why He expects it out of us. And if you're a saved individual and you believe in Him, then that's what He wants from you. He wants you to produce that. And remember this morning, I said we all have our Friday moments, and we have to remember that it's just for a short time, because we know that Sunday's coming. We do go through those things in our life. But it's because of the love of God. It's because of His love. It's because He sent His Son here that gave us these things. He gave us hope. And He gave us the opportunity to have peace in our life through all these things that we go through. He gave us joy as we're going through all these things. And most of all, He produced the love that's within us that we can share with the world, because that's what He did. He shared His love with the world. And He challenges us to do the same thing. We have to try not to avoid that person at Walmart. And I know that during these Christmas season, we have family get-togethers and all that kind of stuff, and that creates challenges at times. But let's all remember that God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He gave His only Son. John, Jason, do you have that scripture that I had up there this morning from that message? Is that you? John 3:16, 17, 18, 19. We read this again. It was from the Advent. I can look it up. If you have your Bibles, you want to go. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world," and remember that, "but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned." I love that part. I'm not condemned anymore. Because His love, I'm not condemned. All the garbage that I did in my life, all the bad thoughts, all the sinful behavior, He didn't come here to condemn me for that. He died on a cross to save me and to tell me how much He loved me and that I could share eternal life if I just believed in Him. And I can let all that go. I don't have to worry about that anymore. "Whoever Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in him in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. That's the love of God.
Amen.
That's the love of God. And I know, you all have your testimonies.
Yeah.
We were all born sinners. We all have our testimonies. We all have had our time of salvation. We know what we've been forgiven of. We know the deeds that were brought into the light and exposed. But God forgave us of those things. He forgave us of those things. He doesn't condemn us any longer if we believe in him. If you believe in him, well, that's gone. Man. And that's the love of God. I mean, how much more can I say? That's the love that this baby came and then grew up and endured the things that he did on the cross and so that we could have eternal life with him. And the Father, turned his back on his own son. I mean, that's tough. I think about those things. But that's what Christmas is about. The love of God. That's what Christmas is about. And I know we get happy when we get gifts. Everybody likes to get presents. Everybody likes that. I mean, I do. But the greatest gift of all was my salvation. The love that was shown to me that I'll never forget.
Amen.
The love that was poured out for me when I finally surrendered to him. And that love, I don't want to lose. I want to keep it. And I want to share it. And that's what he expects us to do, is to share that love. We have a world full of people that are lost. And he wants us to share the love.